News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The ongoing government shutdown taking a toll with thousands of furloughed federal workers missing paychecks this week, and now a battle brewing over back pay.
Requesting an immediate clarification that federal workers will receive back pay at the end of the government shutdown, over 100 lawmakers signing a letter to White House Budget Director Russ Vogt. Other than Senator Lisa Murkowski, Alaska Republican, the rest are all Democrats. They say federal law is clear that the workers are due back pay and that President Trump previously signed a bill that guarantees back pay for federal workers.
ABC's Chuck Sievertson. The Senate will vote again today on a measure trying to end the shutdown. Aid into Gaza has been restricted at the Rafah border crossing, closed today by Israel after accusing Hamas of violating the ceasefire deal to return all remains of dead hostages. Israel says remains from one of the bodies returned did not match DNA of any hostage. The storm that brought heavy rain and snow to Southern California now moving into the Rockies. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The annual Harvest Dinner and auction to support Boscobel Mobile Pack for Feed My Starving Children will be held Saturday at Boscobel Bowl and Banquet. There will be many great items to bid on. Bruce Pitsley is with Boscobel Mobile Pack and an organizer of the event.
In the past, we've had everything from apples to baby goats donated and everything in between. This year, we have a lot of quality handcrafted wood items already. We've got some beautiful quilts that have been donated, some meat bundles, firewood. And the past 2 years, we've had an anonymous donor donate over 70 brand new items. And she's going to do that again this year. Some of those items are small electronics, vacuum cleaners, air fryers, air grills, solar phone chargers, beauty care products. There's so many items that it's too many to mention. So we're looking forward to seeing those items show up again, and it'll be a great night.
Bruce Pitsley says that along with the meal, there will be various activities at the fundraiser.
This year, our meal will be smoked pulled pork sandwiches, cheesy potatoes, coleslaw, and beans, and we are having dessert also. We also have silent auction, live auction, and we're also doing card raffles. We're going to have two card raffle items. One of them is a really nice Blackstone griddle with a cover, and we'll be selling chances for that, $10 per card, and we'll sell a deck of cards that way. And we'll have another item also, which is yet to be determined, and those items are being anonymously donated also.
Auction preview and social time will begin at 5. The dinner will be served at 6, and the live auction will begin at 7. If you are interested in making a donation, quality items can be dropped off at Boscobel Bowl and Banquet from 4 to 8 on either Thursday or Friday. Baked goods are also welcome. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Dodgers win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Dodgers winning Game 2 of the National League Championship Series 5-1 over the Brewers. L.A. now up 2-0 in the best-of-7 series. So what's the solution? The Brewers' Christian Yelich.
Yeah, I mean, we just got to play better. It's not an ideal start to the series by any means. Like, it's not what you want to get off to, but just got to continue to battle and find a way to get the offense going. You know, I got to be better. We got to be better. Just facts, you know? So fly out tonight, take the off day tomorrow, and be ready to battle in Game 3.
Game 3 tomorrow night in L.A. at 5:08. NFL, the Packers trying to figure out why they've given up 60 points in the fourth quarter in just the first 5 games of the season.
We're just like, why is that happening? Are we running out of gas? They got the ball to start the second half. They go on that 18-play drive or whatever it was. I mean, ate up 10 minutes off the clock. I don't know. Does that gas you out?
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home of the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Still a few showers out there for your Wednesday afternoon. Plenty of clouds out there as well. An east breeze and highs in the mid-50s. Tonight, shower chances continue. Clouds in upper 40s to lower 50s. Still a few showers Thursday and upper 60s. Currently 52 degrees.
Matt Nair on Air.
Hi, it's Jane Matt Nair.
Hi, it's Greg Bach.
I'm Calvin.
Join us weekdays 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network for Matt Nair on Air.
We cover all the news that directly affects us as Wisconsinites.
And we lighten things up in hour number two with a segment called Audio Sorbet, and this shouldn't be a thing. We hope you can join us.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Stand-up comedian, Mr. Jim Flanagan.
Can I tell you my Culver's hack? I always get the kids meal because it's everything you want. I don't have children,
right.
So I'm just pretending I have like a 9-year-old named James in the back of my car.
I'm not proud of this, but I'll go through a drive-thru like at Taco Bell. I'll act like I'm on the phone and go, what else did you want? Okay. But it's all just for me. It's like six tacos, nachos, Bel Grande, and I can mouth through all of that.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwalbe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian, TV host, and host of the Travel Tales podcast, Mike Siegel. Then Tim Sowers from the Overture Center joins me to light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. This is the Tom Hartman Program. I'm Jeff Smith sitting in. Thank you so much for being here. Let you live in interesting times, or may you live in interesting times. And as we fight at this moment for the question of whether, to the extent we have had a democracy, the shreds of it will continue. What should that democracy look like? How do we get there? And what's happening out there that might be worth fighting for, in addition to what's worth fighting against? On the air, we have Lynn Davis. He's the program director of Healthy Democracy. He'll explain more about what that is. A way I will put it is, what might we do at the local level, including, to fight for democracy itself? Lynn, thank you for joining us. And why do you introduce Thank You Democracy in your own words?
Yeah, hey, thanks so much for having us. So we do something called a civic assembly, and this is sort of a different kind of democracy that takes everyday people selected at random from the public and puts them in positions of genuine power deep into policymaking. Sometimes this happens at the local level, sometimes at the state level, sometimes at the national level, not here in the U.S. yet, but overseas. It's been around for, in this sort of current form, these civic assemblies have, this sort of idea has been around for about 50 years and started in the U.S., among other places. And but it goes back to very old ideas of more deliberative, sort of collaborative forms of decision making around the world. And the lottery, that sort of lottery process, you may recognize it from our jury system, which was inspired by processes in ancient Greece. There's also versions of it in ancient India, et cetera. And it's a way for everyday people from all walks of life to be involved deep within ownership of public policy, not just giving feedback, not one directional, not even just two directional, but deep within the making of how we govern ourselves.
Democracy, and not just with politicians.
Not just with politicians. No, often these are used for the first time as advisory bodies to city councils or legislatures, but they can act independently as well. They can serve as a substitute for existing boards or commissions or other things that we already have that we may want more representation in, or a different kind of style of deliberative decision making in. They can act independently or as sort of very integrated within the electoral system.
So a question on my mind. So I think, by the way, and I could answer the question that I'm about to pose. And if you want to flip it back to me, it's not a challenge to you. It is not intended as a challenge to you, but it is fair. And it's fair also in the context of discussions we've been having just over the last 15, 20 minutes, which is when the risk of talking about big picture stuff when the house is on fire.
when we're having discussions about what should democracy look like, or what should, how should we raise a new generation of activists, and a very fair response comes, what are you talking about? We don't have time for this. The right now, there is a question, like, who right now is betting that there will, in fact, be fair elections in the next midterm, typically called midterm elections, coming up in a year? So I'll put a question, related question to you. Why does this, why does the idea of civic assemblies matter now?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important when we are looking at our democracy to think about the short term and the long term both at the same time. It's so hard to do, but we have put a lot of money and a lot of time into things like, into election reforms in particular, ranked choice voting, most famously campaign finance reform, sort of a little before that. Those movements are very strong and have a lot of money behind them. And in addition to other things, you know, journalism, obviously.
Not enough. Keep going.
Well, you know, relatively speaking to some of these other reforms. And I think that, you know, that's not enough. We're playing around the edges to some extent. It's not that they're bad. We support them often, not officially, but as individuals. But we think that there's room for thinking about something that's different, thinking that's beyond maybe the current way that we think about our system, which is built on an architecture of debate, incidentally. And all those things are still built on that architecture. This is built on an architecture, ideally, of collaboration, a different way of thinking about this. We often like to point out that this is not a reform that is propagated by or necessarily beneficial to the left or the right or the center, for that matter. It is hopefully beneficial to the public and our ability to have ownership over the decisions that affect our lives. And we need to think a little bit deeper about what maybe the concerns that we have right now across the political spectrum, incidentally, about the way our government works. And that I think a lot of those have to do with our feeling that we're not in this, that it's somebody else. It's something in the sky that's doing things to us or for us or at us, positive or negative. But it's not us. We're not using government as a tool. And a lot of the reforms that to me feel fairly superficial are not changing that relationship at all.
Yeah. So I remember a conversation I had with, in Trump's first term, with a guy who used to serve on my board, a guy I really respect and care about. And I was more than alarmed, and am more than alarmed, by Trump and view the current movement. And then my concern was, and I still believe that, that he as a person received too much attention relative to what his movement was doing, and that the movement that begat him and that he is now begetting posed an existential threat to the most important values in America, and too many of the most important values in America. And I made this case, and he came back to me saying, nah, you find it's going to be more like Warren Harding, where this guy's just going to be a corrupt guy, and then he's going to be out, and then it'll be, and then we'll always remember just this time, like Teapot Dome, and we'll just move along. Now, of course, in the second term, that conversation seems quaint, and there is this time where we feel like we are at the fundament, some are at the barricades, and some are worried that there aren't enough barricades. And I've been wondering, and I think a lot about the next generation. That's first thought. Second thought. So first thought, big problems brewing. Big problems happening and getting worse. Second, I think about the next generation. I think about that I don't see successful social movements that do not include healthy doses of young people. And we need lots of them. And fortunately, there are some, and we need more. And I think about the conversations I have with young people, including on this program and obviously beyond.
1 minute.
And they are, and some of that is, well, what are we fighting for? Are we only fighting against oppression, tyranny? Are we only fighting against Donald Trump, MAGA? Are we only fighting against ICE or gutting of health care? Or is it something we're fighting for? And I like the idea of fighting for democracy. I think that is as good as we can do, rhetorically and morally. And I think part of the challenge, here's my answer to my question, we'll have a break and we'll keep you on. Thank you for joining us. That if we only say the word democracy, and what we mean by that is the current government or the recent government, or roughly speaking, how we've been doing things for the last while, it lands a little shallow. It lands a little unsatisfying. It doesn't feel like a cure to oligarchy. It doesn't feel like democracy. So the reason I appreciate you coming on the show today is to actually talk about what might democracy look like. And for those who think, well, how is that related to the current fight? I would say, I think that fight is about democracy. And we ought to have that fight about something more than, including, yes, but something more than elect Democrats to Congress. Including, yes, but something more than electing Democrats to Congress. We will be back talking about healthy democracy with Lynn Davis right after this.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
What does a healthy democracy look like? What might it look like? What is worth fighting for? We'll be right back.
If you snore and your partner hasn't moved to another room yet, congratulations. You've either found true love or your partner has no other place to go. Hey, let's talk about what your partner really wants in bed. Silence. If you want to actually impress them in bed, stop keeping them awake from your snoring and give them 8 hours of uninterrupted sleep. Zepa is the only FDA-approved and patented anti-snoring solution invented by a leading sleep doctor that stops snoring at the source. Zepa has a 91% success rate backed by a 91-night sleep guarantee. For a limited time, go to Zepa.com and use the code TOM, T-H-O-M, or text TOM to 511-511 and get the absolute best solution guaranteed to stop your snoring with the Happy Z-Pack and save over 24% off. Plus, Zepa will donate $10 to breast cancer research. Visit ZYPPAH.com, use the code TOM, or text TOM to 511-511 and save over 24% with the Happy Z-Pack and start improving your sleep health today. Remember, Zepa is Happy Z spelled backwards. Text fees may apply.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you've ever found yourself driving down a quiet back road and thought, this feels special, you might be on one of our state's rustic roads.
The program was created by the legislature back in 1973. It's really a unique local-state partnership.
Officials wanted people by car, bike, motorcycle, or even on foot to enjoy the natural beauty. The first rustic road designated in Taylor County 50 years ago this month.
There's 124 roads that have been designated rustic roads in Wisconsin in 62 different counties, and it spans over 784 miles.
Each rustic road is unique, rolling past farmland through forests or covering rugged terrain. And the speed limit tops out at 45 miles an hour, sometimes even slower. It's not about getting anywhere fast. This slice of Wisconsin reveals sometimes the best part of the journey is the road itself. I'm Terry Baugh.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dan Hagen, you were out hunting. How did that go?
This buck is eluding me, so I'm just trying new things. I bought designated hunting clothes that I'm going to wash with special detergent that has no scent on it.
People get into the scent, and there's all kinds of things people try to do. I don't know that the science is conclusive. Otherwise, everybody would have success every time. You got to try what you can try, right?
That's spending money for no real reason, probably, at the end of the day.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com.
I knew we all have two ages, our actual age and our body's internal biological age. What I didn't know is we can lower our biological age without even knowing it. Here's the thing. Americans eat so many processed foods and not enough fruits and vegetables. Many, perhaps most, are 10 years older on the inside than their actual age. It's like ticking time bombs. A major university study suggests how to slow aging and defuse that biological time bomb. Participants slowed their aging by drinking Field of Greens. That's all. They didn't change their eating, their drinking, or their exercise, just Field of Greens. Each fruit and vegetable in Field of Greens was doctor-selected for specific health benefits. Cell health, heart, lungs, kidneys, metabolism, even healthy weight. We feel great knowing Field of Greens can slow how quickly we're aging. And I encourage you to join us. Swap your untested fruit, vegetable, and green drink for Field of Greens while there is still time. Check out the university study. Get 20% off when you use promo code Tom at fieldofgreens.com. That's fieldofgreens.com, promo code Tom. Hello there. We are back with Lynn Davis from Healthy Democracy, talking about civic juries, talking about what real democracy might look like in a battle over authoritarianism. What we just heard Lynn say, Lynn, who just turned 40, he talks to young people who say, do I really believe in democracy? Do I think it's a thing? And if that is the baseline, if that is the foundation of where the current argument is happening, no wonder. There feels like too much energy on the anti-democracy side, on the pro-authoritarianism side, on the pro-oligarchy side, and not enough on the pro-democracy side, because we haven't been doing that work. Say more about that, Lynn, or change the subject.
Yeah, I mean, we see a decline in faith in the idea of democracy across the board. There's a great study. I mean, this is not recent. This is since at least in the last 20, 25 years, there's been a pretty steep decline. And I think we got over 50% of folks who said that they were dissatisfied with democracy as an idea. That was like 5 years ago. So yeah. We're deep into the world of being underwater in terms of our belief in democracy. And it's not just young people. It's just most acute among young people.
Mm-hmm. So your idea, and not just your idea, but people can look at the TED Talk on Sortition, you can, heck, follow Aristotle, right? This stuff goes back. Where are exemplars that you like to hold out? What's a micro case study, quick story that helps illustrate why this works and how it works?
Yeah, I'll take a really small scale example and then maybe another big example. We just did a project in Fort Collins, Colorado, sponsored by the city government there, although also funded by other folks and a partnership of nonprofits around a piece of property that used to be the Colorado State Football Stadium, now a vacant piece of land, 150, 160 acres. And it brought together a representative group of the public, a city in one room. It also had other kind of inputs, a group of stakeholders and a sort of a community ambassador program that brought in other information and traditional engagement like surveys and that kind of thing. And the assembly got together and gave a recommendation after extensive deliberation, upwards of 35 plus hours together, on what the city should do with this piece of property, hearing from a number of the different proposals from different interest groups about what should be done with this land. And they presented this proposal to city council, and city council has actually just put it on the ballot for the first time that we know of in the U.S. There's a civic assembly's recommendations that are going to be going directly to voters. There's another initiative, incidentally, as well, from an advocacy group that came through a traditional signature gathering process. So both of those are on the ballot. Great. More democracy. Put it all out there. But it was a really exciting project. And I hope that, I think that in the reporting about these ballot measures, the local media actually is doing a great job of making it clear that this went through this really unique process to get there, which is cool. So there's things like that on the small scale happening across the U.S., but there's also big things happening abroad. Paris, for example, has a sort of parallel city council as of the last few years, where they select by democratic lottery a group of folks. About a third of those folks kind of turn over every 6 months or so, and they set agendas for themselves. In terms of what's most important that the city council may not be working on. And they write bills that in that case go to city council, and then they kind of work with the elected council in order to figure out how those should advance. They also set a participatory budgeting process that would be agenda for that and make other rules around participation. There's a couple other systems like that that are permanent. There's one in Poland where you can get an initiative get an assembly to happen just via signature gathering. So kind of instead of putting something directly on the ballot through an initiative, you can get an assembly to happen. The government has to pay for it. And then if that assembly gets to 80% agreement, and incidentally, that's always a requirement of these processes, supermajority, not majority, we're done with majority. It's always 75-80%.
Yep.
Yeah, closer to consensus, but not forcing consensus. That's also important, because there's some weird power
you can hold out. Yep. So just before we wrap, my quick summary, I think it has these elements, you can correct me, and then I want to you to say where people can find out more, what they can do. So it's a representative group, lottery selected, take a real problem with real information and real deliberation, and then make a real decision in a supermajority way. There's something that's closer to consensus. Lynn Davis from Healthy Democracy, where can people find out more, or what should they be doing?
Yeah, so there's a small network of advocates in hubs across the United States, and just get in touch with us. We can put you in touch with folks that are talking to their local council members, or legislators, or having to organize small things in places probably near you. HealthyDemocracy.org is our website, or info@HealthyDemocracy.org, and we'd love to put you in touch with the many, many activists that are out there that are trying to sort of get at this sort of root cause, change the game kind of structural stuff.
Lynn Davis, thank you so much.
Listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
We are listening to the Tom Hartman Program and watching it. Thank you to Lynn Davis from Healthy Democracy. What are we fighting for, Bill? Maybe that's something. We'll be right back.
With us today is co-founder of Native Path Collagen, Dr. Chad Walding. So glad to have you with us. Tell us about your company.
Well, Native Path, we're a company that is really all about aligning human health with the way it's designed to eat, move, and live. You know, we look at the past 100 years and we see a consistent rise in disease, specifically metabolic disease. That rise has been happening despite all our advances in technology and medicine. We really recognize and appreciate the timeless principles that are really appropriate for humans and human health. And what we do as a company is we educate people on nutrition and movement and lifestyle. And we help provide supplements to help fill in the gaps of the vitamins, the nutrients, and minerals that are missing in the modern diet.
And you do this with Native Path Collagen. What exactly is collagen?
Collagen is our hero product. That's the first product we came out with. And collagen is the most abundant protein in the body, right? It's what makes up the structure of your body, your tendons, your ligaments, the things that you look at, like your hair, your skin, your nails. It even makes up your bones and your gut lining. So it's extremely important to have collagen. And it's something that our ancestors would get plenty of with the way they ate, because they would eat nose to tail. They would take the bones of an animal, they would put it in a big pot with hot water and make broth, and that's how they would get collagen. But we're not getting near enough in our modern diet, because we're so bombarded with carbohydrates and fat, and not near enough quality protein, certainly not enough collagen. And collagen is something we produce on our own, but around the age of 20, that starts to decline. Around 50, it really starts to decline. When we're deficient in collagen, it accelerates the aging process, the weakening of the structure of our body. So it becomes really important to start supplementing with it as we get older. Consuming quality protein, specifically in the form of collagen, is one of the easiest things you can do that makes the most difference in your health.
It's remarkable stuff. Dr. Chad Walding, thank you so much for dropping by today.
Awesome, Tom. Thank you so much. Good to be here.
Feel better, look younger, start your transformation today at getnativepath.com/.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time on location for the Majestic Theater in Waukesha, Wisconsin, for the world premiere of No Packers, No Life. Filmmakers, former Packers, all on the show.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. On May 5th, 1961, Alan Shepard launched into space, becoming the first American to go there. In a one-room rural schoolhouse near Viroqua, there was an 8-year-old second grader, Mark Lee, watching the event on a black-and-white TV with a coat hanger connected on top for better reception. That is the day Mark decided he was going to be an astronaut. In high school, Mark became aware of and applied to the Air Force Academy. He received an appointment through Congressman Vernon Thompson and headed off to Colorado Springs, Colorado, in June of 1970. In early 1984, NASA announced they were going to select another group of astronauts. Mark applied and was one of 17 selected out of 5,000 applicants. After 1 year of astronaut candidate training, the class of 1984 was eligible for flight assignments. Mark was the first in his class to receive a spaceflight assignment. However, the Challenger accident in January 1986 curtailed all future flights. Once flights resumed, Mark flew on STS-30 in May 1989. The crew deployed the planetary probe Magellan, which was responsible for mapping over 95% of the surface of Venus. On his four missions, Mark Lee traveled over 13 million miles, circled the world 517 times, and logged 25 EVA hours during 33 days in orbit. During his Air Force and NASA career, he has flown a total of 4,500 hours. For all his achievements in the Air Force and NASA, Mark was awarded many medals and citations. Astronaut Mark Lee from Viroqua will be inducted into the Wisconsin Aviation Hall of Fame on Saturday at the EAA Museum in Oshkosh. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for the Todd Albaugh Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Still a few showers out there for your Wednesday afternoon. Plenty of clouds out there as well. An east breeze and highs in the mid-50s. Tonight, shower chances continue. Clouds in upper 40s to lower 50s. Still a few showers Thursday and upper 60s. Currently 52 degrees.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded.
So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by UW political science professor Barry Burton and Professor Charles Franklin, the pollster from MU Law School. We discuss the shifts in Trump's approval ratings and the divide within Dems. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
So much for all of your support. Help support Progressive Radio. If you're listening to us on a commercial station, call their advertisers and let them know you're listening. If you're listening to us on Pacifica or one of our many nonprofit stations, please support them when they do their fundraising drives. Thanks for supporting Progressive Talk Radio and tag your it.
We're back. Thank you for being back. Let's go straight to Beth. Go straight to your call. See if we can clear the board so all your brilliance can be shared. Beth from Chicago, Illinois, you're on the air.
Hey, Jeff, I am here. I'm having the blues because I'm in Chicago. Plus, I've been waiting an hour and a half. So I just, because I love you, so I'm here. Listen, I want to tell you, this is like a, it's an urgent message to all blue cities. And maybe people have read this, but I just you're the guy who you know, screens calls. He hadn't heard of it yet, and a lot of my other connections. I'm a grassroots activist, also former professor, and I have an opinion also on the strength of youth. But what I know right now is that in Rogers Park, which is a little north of where I am, I'm in a mostly Hispanic neighborhood. And so I look out for my neighbors, et cetera. Well, what happened was two guys in Rogers Park were sitting on their front porch. They're picked up on the 9th of October by ICE, and they're just being racial profiled. They're literally picked up, right, because they have brown skin. And so all our blue cities should be alerted to this, that they said to the ICE agent, said, where are your papers? And they said, we don't have papers with them. They're in our house, and we're not at the house, or we don't have them. My parents are dead. And the bottom end, and this is how it ended up. They were scaring them and intimidating them. But the point was that one of them could prove it. They had a database in their cars, in the car that they were driving around these two guys in. And this can be seen in the Chicago Tribune and in MSN.com. So yeah. Those are two news outlets that backed my story up, is that one guy was proven that he did indeed have a foreign, he was like a foreign national, so it, was considered legal, but he doesn't have a lot of money, and so he got a $130 ticket. The other person was deported, and we don't know anything about it. But the National Immigrant Justice Center in Chicago told the outlet that it didn't. It really is part of a push on to ensure immigrants register with authorities because of Trump's administration, and keep all their documents with them at all times. And this is purely. No other president has done this besides Trump right now.
Yeah.
So I just want to send this out because you have a big platform.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. And documenting abuses of power, hopefully not just for history, hopefully to help motivate people to do things, hopefully so that we can rebuild media. Like I am both more pessimistic and more optimistic than other people. What I mean by that is I am more pessimistic in the near term, and that I think that they have seized so many levers of power. They have toppled so many opponents that it's sometimes worse than we think. But I hesitate saying that because I don't want to quell anybody's hope, but I do.
Exactly.
But I do overall kind of have faith in humanity, and I think justice can win over time. I think it's not only the arc of history is long, but it's very bumpy. But I do think it bends towards better things and towards justice. Sure. But Beth, thank you for that, and thanks
can
for being
part of this community. Can I say something about as a former professor at Columbia here in Chicago for film students? So when Trump hit his first term, I don't even know if this was legal or not legal. I just said, I hope you all know what's in store if you don't study democracy and what can be taken away. And I told him about the National Endowment for the Arts. And I said, raise your hand if anybody knows what the NEA does and what democracy does for filmmakers and artists like us. If you want to be a filmmaker, then you're going to have to... You know, I basically said, I was like, you're going to have to study democracy and literally vote for it, because that no one else is going to stand up your rights, because in film, most of us are all union. And secondly, I mean, it just no one. And the thing is, they didn't get it at all. But I pushed it enough where I said, well, you know, if you can't convict yourself to make these convictions of free speech, and when you want to make your documentary or your film, you're going to be in trouble. So if you like literally have a teacher that can compare it to what they're doing in their life and how it can affect them adversely, then I think it's a positive thing. And if we don't include them in our future, like our 16-year-olds and up, like you said, to 35, we're insane. No, we must keep them, because I literally believe that I mentor people now that I'm not teaching anymore, and they call me up. So I think that they're integral to the future.
Amen, Beth, and I agree. I agree strongly, and thank you for the call.
Can I say one more thing?
No, I got to go on.
I waited an hour and a half.
You've had 5 minutes and 45 seconds. You get 20 more.
Okay. No. The only thing is that I keep thinking creatively, like, okay, what would they do during the resistance in France or whatever? That why is there, or there probably is, some sort of law enforcement that is spying on the inside. This is not paranoia. This is actually a part of resistance of ICE. And there are, I guarantee you that there are former military literally getting reconnaissance for war crimes.
Yeah. All right, I've got to go. I've got to go to the next caller, Beth, because we want to try to clear the board.
I hope you can expound on that. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Be well. Tom from Boston, Massachusetts, you're on the air.
Hi, Jefferson. Thank you. Jefferson, earlier you asked a question of your guest about what the kids today should be doing or thinking, and came to mind two things I think about these days. One is radical theory back in the day. This turned out to be just radical theory by the elite owners. And, you know, like the Koch brothers putting foundations into the university structure and screwing this thing up and making it biased. So I saw Weckler once on Monday. He was in Boston on a tour. And he basically said, seize the moment. He saw an opportunity, he lost. He did it again, and he won. They got a seat at the table. He talked about the triangle they formed between government, the owners, whether you'd be the communists, the Russians, the Soviets, and the union workers. They got a seat. They were at their first. So all I'm saying is we have an opportunity Saturday. It's got to be peaceful. It's got to be strong. And it's got to say no and put our foot down. But it's got to be big numbers, because the politicians don't want to see, you know, discourse in the street. And they respond to that. They responded in the 60s. Yeah. They'll respond again if we're in the streets. But we cannot allow this dictator, this white nationalist, he wants civil war. It's like he's got Putin in his pocket. He's just looking. Also, I'm just saying, I hadn't even heard about Saturday anywhere. Well, I'm a very busy guy, but we got to be there. The other thing is equity. You know, you need, the owners got multi-layered layers of hiding in the corporations. These owners need to be challenged. And we're the most unequal country we've ever been in the history of everything, past the Gilded Ages by great numbers. Yeah. We need to get them focused on the top, and they get their equity, they get their seat at the table so they can be happier, and we won't be so stressed out. And, you know, put things in proportion, things, show things like, you know, billboards. That's the other question, if I can just say, you know, when Air America came on, I saw those billboards, and I was there in the beginning. They work. So, you know what? Somehow we got to get something together, get billboards. I forget what I was thinking we should say up there right now.
If you have a good billboard idea, send it to us. And thank you, Tom. Let me respond to those very quickly before we go to break. So our two things in reverse order. Equity, it's something to fight for. And I agree. I think that as people get rooted more in selfishness and try to protect just theirs, and we build a politics of just selfishness, that it promotes an opportunity, gives us an opportunity to see the limits of selfishness as a policy idea. And that, and I'll just point you to the TED Talk on Richard Wilkinson's TED Talk and his book, The Spirit Level, which isn't about spirituality. It's literally about that when things fall out of equity, when the measurement of equity falls out, societies start to collapse. It's just a bad news for everybody. But the other is your point in the streets. Yeah, this is a time for people to do more and to be visible, and so that everybody in this country needs to know somebody who is active in resisting authoritarianism, who is not just coddling people who are taking a bow for having elected Trump and putting in this circumstance. A significant majority of people are opposed to Trump, but he's still gathering enough levers of power to make it hard to oust his team. So yes, that means the streets. It's also, LinkedIn is too quiet, it's too professional. I do encourage people to post there. Facebook, heck yes, and also new media outlets, including communities like this. We've got to find more and more communities, more and more pockets, where we can bring people in of all ages, including young leaders, to bring them along and to build numbers. We have to build those numbers. And my one little tip, no King's protest this weekend, bring a friend, maybe even a young friend.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
My dad does a good job of this. He tries to recruit a couple young people to come with him each time, including to the No Kings protest this weekend. We'll be back.
If you're a homeowner in America, you need to listen to this. The FBI has been warning about a type of real estate fraud on the rise called title theft, and your equity is their target. Here's how it works. Criminals forge your signature on a single document, use a fake notary stamp, and file it with the county. And just like that, on record, they own your home. Using your ownership, they then take out loans against your equity or even sell your property, and you won't know about it until foreclosure or collection notices show up in your mail. That's why I've partnered with Home Title Lock so you can protect your equity and find out today if you're already a victim. Go to HometitleLock.com/Tom, T-H-O-M. You get a free title history report and a free trial of their $1 million triple lock protection. That's 24/7 monitoring of your title records, urgent alerts to any changes, and if fraud occurs, their U.S.-based restoration team will spend up to $1 million to fix it. Find out why I trust Home Title Lock. Protect yourself like Louise and I did. Go to HometitleLock.com/Tom. That's HometitleLock.com/THOM.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter. Experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs. Don't you think? We're the Patriotic Millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. We think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free.
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Don't often agree with Marjorie Taylor Greene. They asked her about Congress being shut down and how it related to the Epstein files.
Why drag this out? That is going to have 218 signatures. I say go ahead and do it and get it over with.
Trigby? She's not necessarily my cup of tea, but she reads tea leaves. I think her moving to where she's at says that when that vote happens, there are going to be a major dam break, and it's a problem.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us.
If you snore and your partner hasn't moved on to another room yet, congratulations. You've either found true love or your partner has no other place to go. Let's talk about what your partner really wants in bed, silence. If you want to actually impress them in bed, stop keeping them awake from your snoring and give them 8 hours of uninterrupted sleep. Zipa is the only FDA-approved and patented anti-snoring solution invented by a leading sleep doctor that stops snoring at the source. Zipa has a 91% success rate backed by a 91-night sleep guarantee. For a limited time, go to Zipa.com and use the code TOM or text THOM to 511-511 to get the absolute best solution guaranteed to stop your snoring with a happy Z-Pack and save over 24% off. Plus, Zipa will donate $10 to breast cancer research. Visit ZYPPAH.com and use code TOM or text TOM to 511-511 and save over 24% off with a happy Z-Pack and start improving your sleep health today. Remember, Zipa is happy Z spelled backwards. Text fees may apply. Back. We've got moments left, but let's see if we can give everybody who's been patiently waiting a chance. Tom from Media, Pennsylvania, who likes to call and promote Trump. Go ahead, Tom.
I'm a moderate. I'm more of a third-way Democrat, actually, but there's no such thing as a moderate. But I hear this mantra about Republicans slash conservatives being, you know, much less charitable and kind than the Democrats slash liberals that are much more kind and generous. But, you know, all the studies show that in terms of charitable giving across all levels of income, Republicans slash conservatives give much significantly more, you know, per person.
So, Tom, first of all, send me the data. Second of all, send me the data if you peel out, if you peel away giving to church. And if you peel away giving to church, I'd like to see that data also. And send me the data, then we can talk about it. I don't think that a particular political designation has a has a monopoly on virtue. What I do think today, and what I have said today, is that I am deeply concerned. I assume you are deeply concerned at the tenor of the discussion, the kind of discussion among young Republicans. Yes, that's something that you don't promote.
Well, I think that I haven't seen the young Republicans.
So you should. Take a look. Look at Sue Stack.
I will.
Take a read at Sue Stack and look at what was passing as discourse in that community. And the thing I would say is,
how do I get a hold of you? How do I get a hold of you on your website? There, I know I have a website. I can respond because I responded a while ago to you. I never got a response back. But
yeah,
or
you can send it into the show.
Okay, right. The show doesn't have an address, so that's not going to work either. I can't get an address from the show.
Oh.
So I'll do it on. I can't get an address on the show. If you want me to give it to me, that's fine. But I can't get an address for the show.
Well, I think there's an email. I mean, I know people reach out to the show here, so that shouldn't be too hard, Tom. But I want to get to the next call. But yeah, the screen. I'll put you on hold, and the screener can help get you connected. Let's go to Calvin. Let's go to Carol. Carol from Seattle, you're on the air.
Hi, me. We have 72 million people that are unregistered, and so when I go to the march, I'm going to bring ways to get people registered.
There you go.
And that's the thing. We got to get more people to join. We can't be so picky. We're not marrying each other. We're just voting together. So big chance. time to put our little filthiness aside. We don't have a lot of choices. That type of thing.
No, I love it. And when you register voters, do you have a favorite first line?
Well, I mean, it depends on if I'm doing it for King County. You can't be, you have to be nonpartisan. But I think I'm going the other way. I basically talk about FDR and about why we're all here and how we made America great the second time, because when we found it was already great. So let's just acknowledge that.
It won't come across rocket science after I'm done with it, but I'm going to give you my best tip on voter registration. So we used to run voter registration drives, and we'd have young people come in who joined our political leadership program and would, and I'd sort of make a guess of who was going to be the best voter registrar. And I was wrong every time. And because I'd sort of think the person it would be was going to be the person who was maybe had some particular charismatic energy or seemed extroverted. And both times that I remember making those guesses, I didn't make them publicly, I just made them in my own head. I remember two people that were the best in their respective years, that they were the best, and they were both kind of introverted people. And I asked them what they did, and I looked into what they did better than other people, and the difference was they asked everybody. They just kept asking, and they didn't stop asking, and they didn't get bummed out. They just kept on going, and they kept on going, and they kept on going. And that has reached a point of ideology for me. The key to voter registration is just asking, asking, and asking, and asking, and asking. So, Carol, thank you for asking.
I think we both proved our points that we can't be as picky as we used to be.
There you go, Carol. Yeah. Thank you. Calvin, you got like 20 seconds.
The Supreme Court was voted in with only 50 votes. Can they bring the budget down without using the Democrats as an excuse and go to 50 votes?
You're saying can they get the budget done without
they did with the changing the goalposts for the Supreme Court?
Yeah, they could go to some extremes to change Senate rules, but then they'd be loath to do that because then it could be done to them. They still might, but they'd be somewhat loath. Calvin, I want to say thanks. I want to say thanks to everybody who's been listening. We got to everybody. Thank you to the staff who puts on this show. Thanks to all of you. And I do hear the urgency, and I feel the urgency. And also want to make sure we think about yes now and also tomorrow. I think there could be one. 202-808-9925. I will be with you tomorrow. You can call in then. And I appreciate you. The Coalition of Benevolently Irrational Good People doing good things for no good reason. And you are priceless. Definition of priceless: worth a lot, not for sale. Back with you tomorrow.
Listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit TomHartman.com.
Wow.
What happens when you're the knock, the next of kin for a loved one who dies? It can be pretty overwhelming to have to deal with the bank accounts, credit cards, utilities, cars, mortgages, all that stuff, all while grieving a loss. If something were to happen to you tomorrow, would your next of kin be prepared? Well, they would be if you had a knock box. The Next of Kin Box. The Knock Box helps provide a paper trail for your digital life so your loved ones don't have to go on a wild goose chase. And if you have a household, you need a Knock Box. It's a complete system that helps you organize your possessions, your finances, your account passwords, your plans for your pets, for your kids, your estate, and more. Use the code TOM to save 18% off any kit exclusively available at knockbox.com. That's N-O-K-box.com. N-O-K-B-O-X. .com. Go to knockbox.com and use that code TOM, T-H-O-M, to get organized and to save your 18%. Knockbox.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A vote is expected in the Senate this afternoon on a clean funding bill to end the government shutdown. It's also likely to fail again, with lawmakers at odds over restoring health care benefits clawed back in the GOP mega bill. Here's ABC's Jay O'Brien.
Speaker Johnson said the work of the House of Representatives is done, and he sent his chamber home, and they haven't been here for 3 weeks. So the House is out, meaning they couldn't take up any deal that was struck in the Senate unless they were to come back. So if there is legislation on those Obamacare tax credits or any other health care related deal that gets workshopped in the Senate and passed, right now the House isn't here to take it up.
Israel says it's identified three bodies of hostages returned Tuesday. The fourth body did not match DNA of any hostages. Israel closing the Rafah crossing today in Gaza, limiting aid, accusing Hamas of failing to return all dead hostages under the ceasefire agreement. On Wall Street, stocks are up on positive earnings reports today. This is ABC News. We'll be right back.